It's time for our weekly segment with Colt Barber of Sikkim365.com.
All right, back here on ESPN Central Texas, and we're now joined by Colt Barber, Sikkim365. Colt, the dead period is over. It's been a little quiet in recruiting for the last couple of weeks. How much are you expecting that to get dialed up here over these next couple of months while we await the return of football season?
Yeah, I think the first and foremost, they have a camp that's coming up on July 22nd, which will obviously have a lot of guys coming in, prospects, guys with offers that will probably be coming to visit on that day, and then obviously guys who could potentially receive offers. There'll be a lot of guys invited back to that camp that they might want to see again that had the opportunity to earn an offer. But besides that, and it's going to really be picking up with guys getting on campus before they head back to school, because once school starts for those high school prospects, you know, they can't make a midweek trip and avoid or skip practice and skip their classes. And so over the next several weeks leading up into fall camp, there's going to be a lot of guys on campus. And obviously once the fall practice starts and Baylor begins preparing for the season, there'll be a lot more prospects that come in on come into campus, come into Waco, get to see what practice is all about, visit with the coaches, kind of see the product again. You know, that a lot of guys got to come up during the spring and see what they're doing there in the spring as far as the offensive defense. But it'll be a great opportunity to see them, see it once again before the season begins, and give Matt Rhule and his coaches another opportunity to sell these guys on Baylor.
You had been teasing up until a few days ago that they were kind of keeping this particular weekend secret. They only wanted certain guys. They didn't want a bunch of just, you know, average prospects hearing that there was something going on and then wanting to show up and do all of that. How do you feel now that they're going to get camps resumed and players on campus? How do you feel about where they are since recruiting has slowed down a little bit over these last couple of months?
You know, they're still in a good spot. It was a great great time for it to slow down because Baylor was sitting at 15 commitments. Gave the coaches a little bit of opportunity to kind of regroup in a way, figure out which guys they really want to target and go after them. And as you saw, there are several commitments that are going to be visiting on July 29th. And they started tweeting it out. And that's going to be a pretty big weekend for kind of solidifying those guys before the fall starts, and they're not able to get on his campus nearly as much. But as far as the remainder of the recruiting class, there's about 10 spots left. And I know we've discussed it before on here, but they can really be selective because you know that they're still going to have a quarterback. They still need one or two more offensive linemen. They need another running back. And so once you start putting in all those pieces, then you realize, man, there's really not a lot of spots to be selective because you know, you just can't go offer four or five guys that you think are valuable players. Because if they commit and then you lose a spot for potentially another offensive lineman, because as we all know with the recruiting, I mean, with the scholarship limitations, you can't just sign 30 or 35 guys in a class anymore.
Colt, what have you heard about the summer program for the players getting ready for this coming season? How is it going for them and how eager are they ready to get back onto the field?
You know, they're as far as the team goes, I mean, I think it's just a matter of starting the new era, starting the Matt Rhule era, and getting focused for a new beginning in a way. And I know a lot of those guys, a lot of the feedback is that they're just excited, just kind of to make a statement. And obviously when you bring in someone like Rachel Barbeau, and kind of gives them a little bit of energy. And as long as the news stays positive, it's just going to continue to carry into the season and give those guys a lot of hope.
How excited is Matt Rhule to actually get out and to, you know, get closer and closer to being on the field and doing some actual coaching?
Yeah, I mean, he's got to be pretty excited about it. I mean, he's been recruiting, and everyone's seen him recruiting. Everybody's seen that he was able to put together a class in 2 months. He's already gotten more than half of his second class put together and is really focusing in on the final stretch run in a way before that first signing day in December. But to be able to go and coach a football game, I mean, you know, it seemed like 2 or 3 years since he's coached a football game because all the stuff he's had to do, not just dealing with the situation that he came into, but just because he's been so busy. I mean, he finally got a vacation. He's able to take a little bit of time off for the first time since December. I mean, really since before December, if you consider that he just finished coaching the season at Temple. But you know how hard he works, and you know that he's just chomping at the bit to get back out there and coach these guys.
He'll make his Big 12 Media Days debut next Tuesday. Is there anything that you're looking to have answered by Matt Rhule next week as everybody gets to pepper him with questions? Is there something that maybe you'd like to hear more of? What are you eyeing next Tuesday at Big 12 Media Days with him?
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, I'm curious about the quarterback situation. I know that everyone just assumes, including myself, that Zach Smith will eventually be the named the starter, but I also know that there's been a lot of positive feedback on the new Solomon and just kind of the way that he handles himself. And at minimum, they're going to have a guy that has a lot of experience as a backup, a lot of talent. And the one thing that could really potentially set him apart is his mobility in the pocket. I just want to know Matt Rhule's opinion on that situation before. Obviously, they've already been through spring ball. They haven't started fall camp yet, but where he feels the quarterback situation is, and I know he's really high on Charlie Brewer as well, but on top of that, I mean, what are they going to do on the offensive line? I want to ask him about that. What's true freshman going to be able to play? I assume there's going to be a lot of offensive linemen out of that 2017 class to play as true freshman just because there's a lot of depth needed, as we all know. But those two things, how the defense is progressing. I mean, all we've heard is how in-depth and difficult this defense can be to learn or to implement during one season or within 1 year for their first season. I'm curious to know where he feels like that unit is. Are they going to be able to go out there and show everything that they want to show in their first year, or is there still a lot of things that they're going to need to work on? And I think his answer will basically summarize be, you can always get better. But I just want to know what he's thinking. You know, is this a group, you know, with – there's going to be a bunch of seniors on that group. If you consider Davion Hall or K.J. Smith or Brian Nance or Tayon Sales, whoever it might be, Taylor Young, I mean, man, there's a lot of experience. So, yeah, diving into the defense in 1 year is tough, but I'm curious how those seniors have really adapted to it and how far along they already are.
What does it tell you about the future and the direction that Baylor football is headed when the players that he's taking with him to Big 12 Media Days aren't skilled players? I mean, there's defensive guys and offensive linemen.
I mean, that's really, in the way, the strength of the team, maybe. I mean, you don't really – what is the strength? We don't really know exactly what the strength is yet because there's a lot of unprovenness, but – when you consider you have a K.J. Smith and you have a Brian Nance on the defensive line that are going to be seniors, and he's considering those his leaders and his most talented prospects, that has to sit well for where they are heading into the season. And obviously, you would love to see Zach Smith there. You'd love to see a Blake Lynch there or a Chris Platt or someone like that. But, I mean, these guys are – they've been through it all. I mean, if those guys – if there's any group with thick skin, with the ability to give the correct answers, those guys – and you're really going to see the guys that they're going to go to battle with each and every week in the group that's going to Big 12 Media Days.
I know that a lot of freshmen are expected to play. I've seen, read, thought about myself how many guys could eventually see the field as true freshmen. Are all of them accounted for? Is everybody moved in now at this point? And do they have the full 27, or is there still some stragglers?
There is one that is not on campus yet. That's Khalil Keith, an offensive lineman out of Alabama. And it's basically just an NCAA issue. It sounds like all of his grades are in order, but we know how the NCAA can be sometimes if there's ever a question, getting through the clearinghouse. Brian Nance went through it out of high school. He was able to go to prep and then end up being at Baylor there pretty soon after, and he didn't have to go the junior college route. But Khalil Keith is the only one. And fortunately, I mean, you don't want to say fortunately he's not a serious part of the class because he is, but I don't think he was going to be one guy that they expected to come in and contribute immediately. You never know that for sure as far as injuries or something taking place, but if there's one guy that could come in August, you know, this isn't a need for a quarterback or a top running back that's coming in really late. So hopefully his situation can get situated. The NCAA can clear him because it sounds like his grades are in order. It's just going to be a matter of what the NCAA decides to do.
So 26 of 27 signees are on campus and are accounted for, and now just waiting on the offensive lineman out of Alabama in Khalil Keith. I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit here. We know that some of these guys are going to play, but who could you see being named a starter? Doesn't matter when during the season, but who could you see actually taking a starting role out of these newcomers?
And it's not a question that I haven't thought of. I mean, there's that whole list you could just go down, and there's about – I would say 15 that I'd say, okay, these guys are more than likely going to play, and about half of those I say will definitely will play. So going down to that list and just in figuring out which one will definitely play, I mean, you almost want to say or start. I mean, you want to say on the offensive line, maybe a guy like Ryan Miller at the center position, and obviously starting on the offensive line as a true freshman, you worry about the strength, but Ryan Miller's a guy that checks that box. I mean, you've seen some of his workout videos on Twitter, and I know that's not what it's all about, but I mean, you know this guy is a workout warrior, and the fact that he's going to be physically ready to go, and he's about 300 pounds now. So he's one that I say he could very well be ready to go as a true freshman starting. And honestly, besides that, I mean, there's not a lot of those guys. Maybe I don't know if there's going to be another starter. There's so much depth help that is needed that a lot of those guys will just kind of fall into the ranks. But – you know, you don't know who's going to surprise you. If it's if something happens to a running back, John Lovett could come in there, and I mean, he could be considered a starter midway through the season if there's an injury take place. Maybe a Gavin Holmes or an R.J. Sneed, because the receiver position is kind of up for grabs. Outside of Chris Platt and Blake Lynch, there's not a lot of production returning. Defensively, I think that all of those units are pretty much set. The one that might be up for grabs a little bit is the corner back spot opposite of Graylin Arnold or Jamison Houston starter of Kedrick Vaughns, and none of those guys really locked down that. So maybe a guy like Harrison Hand out of New Jersey could really push for a lot of playing time if he does play as a true freshman. He's one I think could. So I don't think there's anything specifically that I say this guy could start as a true freshman, but if I was going to lean towards one, I'd go back and just say Ryan Miller at the center position, because we've seen how big of hits Baylor has taken on the offensive line, but two of those, Sean Muir and Tanner Thrift, both came at the center position. So it'll be interesting to watch for sure.
Is there a guy or a couple of guys that you feel will benefit the most from Matt Rhule and his staff and the way that they're going to run this program moving forward?
As far as guys that are already on campus?
Yeah, absolutely. And anybody. It could be youngsters or it could be guys that have been there for a while.
Man, the two, and maybe because I feel like the position is made for them, but Brian Nance and Xavier Jones, I mean – that position, if you go back and watch Xavier Jones and the way he played when he was on the field last year as a sophomore, I mean, he had 15 or 16 tackles or something like that on the season, but 7.5 of those were for loss. I mean, he was just disruptive. And he might have had more tackles than that, but it was a really high percentage. Mm-hmm. And so he's a guy that can play that rush-in position where he's going to stand up, put his hand in the ground a little bit. But the same goes for Brian Nance. They're at the same position, but they're really made for that. I mean, if you go back and watch the Son Reddick highlights, both of those guys have the ability to play like that. Now, are they going to be as fast and as athletic and as productive? Probably not, but I feel like that position is just tailor-made for both of those guys. And then, you know, you don't want to speculate off-the-field-wise the structure, but I feel like overall the structure of the program, the way that they're on top of these guys about going to class and being great people, I think that's going to benefit all of them.
Well, it's going to be a much better time, I imagine, than it was a year ago when we were in Dallas. That was not fun, but a lot has changed. And I think it says a lot, Colt, that not only are they back close to or right at 85 scholarships, when I don't think anybody would have bet that they would be for some time. He did that, boom, one recruiting class in 2.5 months of being on the trail. But you also look at a position that was pretty depleted last year, defensive line, that's pretty well stocked with what they were able to do in recruiting, and the fact that save maybe one or two guys as true freshmen would even crack the starting lineup right now, I don't know that anybody else would have thought that a year ago either. I think many probably would have assumed that a lot of young guys would play. They'll play, but not start. I think it bodes well, perhaps, for this upcoming season that Matt Rhule's not walking into nearly as empty a cupboard as maybe you would have imagined a few months ago.
Yeah, and I don't think a lot of people even realize that. At this point, outside of maybe the people that really follow it closely, I think a lot of people look at that 2016 class and said, man, Baylor had a great class, and then it was ripped apart. And how many of those guys are going to contribute? But, I mean, you look at, like, Ira Lewis and Greg Roberts and Jamie Jacobs, Xavier Jones on the defensive line, and then you throw in a guy like Bravian Roy or Michael Johnson. I mean, those guys, they've been in the system. And obviously, there's not really a headliner in that group. Besides maybe KJ Smith, but then you had Brian Nance back to the mix. And after he set out for a year, everyone kind of forgot about him, but he was a top prospect in the country coming out of high school. So he has the ability But, I mean, overall, I mean, going into this Big 12 Media Days, I think that maybe people will realize more that, well, maybe Baylor's not as bad off as we originally thought as far as the amount of talent on campus. I was going through the other day and just the amount of four-star prospects, if it was ranked by ESPN a four-star or ESPN, I mean, 247 or Rivals or whoever it might be, Baylor has a lot of talent compared to previous years across the board. And obviously, a lot of that credit goes to the previous staff because they brought in a lot of those guys. But you look at Baylor's 2017 class and immediate impact guys, if it's a Justin Harris, or there's so much been made of B.J. Thompson out of England, Arkansas, where it looks like he's going to play on the defensive line now. But they just added to that, and it really sets up well for the future. And two guys I don't want to forget to mention. We talk about a new Solomon a little bit, but the two transfer in Jalen Hurd and James Lockhart. Now, those guys won't be playing this fall, but they'll be playing in 2018. And, man, if I have not received so much positive feedback on both of those guys, and you know the athletes that the previous staff brought in that are on campus right now, but the feedback on Jalen Hurd as a receiver, tight end, running back is just insane, the athletic ability this guy has. So he's going to be a lot of fun to watch. And then James Lockhart, who transferred in from Texas A&M, looking forward again to that 2018 season, replacing someone like K.J. Smith on the defensive line, maybe a defensive end position. His work ethic has been phenomenal since he's got on campus. And he was another four-star Army All-American guy that was highly regarded, obviously, out of high school, but I think he's going to make an impact once he gets on the field as well.
Yeah, I've seen young Lockhart on the updated conditioning standouts that they post on Twitter of the performers of the week and whatnot. I've seen him on there a couple of times, saw Jalen Hurd on the most recent one as well. And so, yeah, that's something to look forward to a year from now when it's almost like getting extra recruits in a way. But things a year later, better, and certainly looking forward to seeing Matt Rhule in front of the media here in the next few days. Colt, as always, a pleasure, man. Check out Sikkim365.com and also check out Colt on Twitter at Colt_Barber, or just tune in next Tuesday at around 1:30 and every Tuesday thereafter. Have a great week, man. I'll see you in Dallas, I suppose.
Yes, sir. I'll be there.
All right, man. We'll see you then. Colt Barber, Sikkim365, joining us here on ESPN Central Texas.